Thank you, Brother Kim. As you have heard from the prayer time, that I'm an elder and not the pastor. Our pastor is out now in Hawaii. Another pastor, Pastor Jeff, is out sick. So I guess what I'm trying to do now is to let you know that I will be looking at my notes a lot. Brother Mike did not help. Last week, he just went back to back without seeing his notes. So in order for me not to get lost, I'll be doing that number, okay? So good morning. Folks, we have an amazing God. We just have an awesome God. And that's why I'm here. I love it when they ask me to preach, even though it's not easy. It takes a long time for me to prepare for a message. Why do I love preaching? It's because I'm the first one to preach to. I just go through that process just feeling that this message, seriously, it's every time I speak about some message like Joshua 24, about as for me and my house a few years ago, I just felt it that I better be a good example for this household that I have. So anyway, while I'm speaking, I would like my helpers to be here so that when it's time for them to help me, they're available. And so please, be here. We were supposed to sing a song, but 50% of our choir not here. So we decide not to. The island way, when you preach, it's good to have a group so you just feel good before you preach. Brother Clayton, you're not part of this team? Thank you. And as you folks know, a lot of times I make do examples or story from where I came from. So it's very similar to that. So when we were kids in Kosciuszko, we did not have power. Therefore, we didn't have TV, no internet. Kids, it was boring to you. It's very quiet. So what we had was what we call Pilen Fong. Pilen Fong is a time of evening stories, legends, in which our folks taught us throughout years. Basically, our houses were like shotgun homes, where it's just like one big living room. So therefore, for my family, there's 10 of us. So we just lay down. Folks, my parents would just tell the Pilen Fong until we all go to sleep. So that's storytelling. Now, the next thing we usually do are the outdoor games. And Melita would know because they have that where she came from in Foco. So anyway, we had outdoor games. And one game that I would like to tell you is a game called Korosia. So a Korosia game is always outdoors. So the idea of a Korosia is almost like hide and seek. And so the kids would decide who will be the attacker, the investigator of this Korosia game. And so we would decide, and then the kids would go hide. Folks, the what I want to share is the place where I came from. It's called Tenwalk. So there is a mangrove forest on one side, and in the middle is a land about 100 feet wide, thanks to the Japanese. They built a land through our mangrove. And on the other side is a inland swamp where Nipah palms are growing. So the mangrove is smelly. There's some sounds that's just so scary. It has popping sound like chewing gum. They have some roots that come up as part of their oxygen intake. There's roots that come up in a mangrove. So it's a scary place. It's a smelly place. And it just, and then at night, the black tern makes whistling sound like, oh, I'm losing I lost a tooth here, so it's not really coming out. Manamgo. So anyway, next to it is a channel that runs through the mangrove. And on the other side, the Nipah palm area, it's just smelly, and the sound of the leaves just... And it just... For kids, it was scary. And right in the middle of this land, the strip of land, are graves. Graves of our people of whole. Graves from folks that came from Rotuma. We are Rotumans from Fiji. They were buried there. And some Japanese soldiers were buried there. So it's a scary place to be. So you gotta know where the place is, everything that, where you can find the kids, and most likely to find kids. So one night, there was a very loud cry of a desperate woman coming from the mountainside. It was scary. On top of all these things I just mentioned, so that shout and cry was from a bird called Kyakowe. Kyakowe, according to legend, only happens when someone dies in the community. And so it was scary. Good thing that bird is extinct. So, anyway, just about that, some kids were good in playing Korosia, because they are familiar with the place. Like myself, I knew how to play Korosia. In Tenwa, when I go to Foko, where Wilfred and Milfred are from, I wouldn't know where to find the kids. So folks, there is someone who would be very good in playing Korosia, not in the hiding. He doesn't hide. He seeks and he will find, because he will know where the kids are, on the trees, in the trees, in this channel. He will not be afraid of the graves, because he is awesome. And Lord, and folks, when I do this kind of introduction, it's no comparison to this mighty God we have. It's just to help me move as a part of my introduction to what I'm going to say. So please do not get stuck with said, oh, so Bedouin said God is going to play Croatia. No, please. It's just my introduction, okay? I want you to walk away with something like what is going to be shared. And in a few minutes, you will see the passage, Psalm 139. I hope it comes up, but that is the message. I, as a person, may say things as a human being, may not be the answer to your or what the message is saying. So just forgive me, okay? So, why don't we pray? Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We pray that you will guide us today with your Holy Spirit to know you personally and to know how, moment by moment, that you are an awesome God. Amen. Okay, so the passage today, as I said, is in Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I was hoping that you folks will read verse 23 and 24, but you can still do that with your Bibles. Huh? When it comes to 23 and 24, just join me. It's a powerful prayer. So if you can join me. So I'm going to start reading Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going and my laying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, you eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book, before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O Lord, or O God. How fast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O Lord, away from me, you bloodthirsty man. They speak of you evil with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Folks, let's read this prayer together. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offense in me, and lead me in the everlasting. Thank you for the reading, and that is the reading. Let me just get some water and have myself ready. So let us take a peek at today's message. So the author for today is David, as well as a lot of books or songs in the Book of Psalms. That's David. He was mostly asking God for help. He offered his plea for help, and in some places, some praises as well. The time of writing, if I am not mistaken, was during the actual time that he went through these sufferings or praises. And when King Saul and some men were attempting to take his life, this is the time. Most of us are familiar with the David and Goliath story. We heard and learned that it was David's faith that had allow him to slaughter the giant Goliath. So, King Saul was very jealous because after he slew Goliath, folks were starting to look at David with more attention. Women were singing that David slew a lot more men or soldiers than Saul did. And so Saul started to go after David's life. First, he tried to pin him down with a spear in the palace, and then he was after him in the wilderness. So for a while, he was trying to kill David. And of course, we know David was trying to spare his life twice. He spared Saul's life twice. So a lot of times, David, I'm going to explain that, he just had a very hard time struggling. So the Book of Psalms is in poetry form. It's in Hebrew parallelism. So parallelism is unlike the Western way of writing, in which we want to remind the reader what they need to understand or remember well from a passage or a reading. So Western writing is mostly rhythms and rhymes. Hebrew parallelism is different. They use writings like repetitively in a very familiar parallel way, where in which they repeat almost the same thing they previously stated. So that's like Hebrew parallelism. So if you look at today's reading, it's just that. If you see one reading going this way and it's almost just the same, you should know that is a critical thing to remember. Sometimes parallelism can run opposite, and you will just have to find what is in the middle of this different message. The chiasm will be in the middle, the central idea. Okay? So that is the type of writing we have. Poetry, Hebrew parallelism. Now, let's look at David's state of affair. How was David like? Why was he so much in agony? Why it sounds like he just not have a good time? Let's look at that. So it is important for us to understand him. He was completely miserable, depressed, angry. I'm sure he was hungry as well. And probably not well groomed. Probably his hair was long. He had many sleepless nights. Maybe a lot of mosquitoes, you know? We don't know. So I built this little shack at home, and I just want to experience. I experienced mosquitoes before, lots of them. But I just want to be outside, just feel, as I tried to preach this message. Maybe how did David feel or how he felt? So anyway, lots of mosquitoes and cricket where I am, where we have not caught the dang, okay? And so this is what he specifically said in Psalm 31, 9 to 12. David talking about his own misery. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am distressed. My eyes grow weak and sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because affliction and my bones grow weak because of my enemies. I am utter contempt of my neighbor and object of dread to my closest friends. That's David, the man after God's own heart. He's just having a very hard time. And you know what? I love this because we all go through this life. We can understand where it's coming from. Okay? Now, so that is our background. Let's move on to the passage today. So, as you could hear, I keep saying God is amazing. He is. And we're going to see exactly that is the center idea. See, God knows us completely. If you're not sure, I'm telling you, the Bible said so. He knows us completely. Now, to elaborate more on this idea that God knows us completely, I have divided the message into actually three. The last one is just what David did in response to God's awesomeness. So my last point is, what shall I do then? Okay? So, the first part or section I'm going to speak about is that God is all-knowing. Therefore, he knows us. And that is called omniscience. God is an omniscient God. He knows everything. And in this case, for the passage today, he knows us very well. Second point is, God is present everywhere. Therefore, he knows us. He is an omnipresent God. Lastly, in terms of three virtues of God, is that God is powerful. He's a powerful God. He's omnipotent God. Okay? So you heard about omnivorous, that means it's both. Okay? So, the last section, if I have a powerful God, and a God that is present everywhere, and a God that is all-knowing, what should I do then in response to that, the awesomeness of God? That's what we're going to see at the end of this message. If God is that powerful, what would David do in regards to his misery and the folks who were after him? My message today I titled Discovered and to be Found Faithful. I will explain why it is discovered and why it is titled this way. Now, let us turn our attention to the passage as we go on. God knows where we're at. It says in verse 1, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." Some versions said, "You have known me." Okay? I think that's a great version to know, because he already have known. You see, when we were saved, it says we're being saved when we are actually saved already. You're already saved, but God is like, he's trying to make sure you understand about that saving. It's almost like an ongoing process when you actually are already saved. And so that idea is almost the same. So, if God is all-knowing and he created us, what does it mean then for him to have searched me? What is important about the search that David expressed? Now, folks, this type of search is not like looking for a lost item, in this case, in this reading, or a lost person. So, what is it then for the Lord to find David or to look for him? In Genesis 1, we learn that God created everything. So he was able to create. So he already knows what he has created. Okay? So we should be able to believe that God created everything. So folks, if we do not believe that God created everything, maybe we shouldn't believe God at all. Because he did create everything. So this kind of search is like God is digging, the way it's originally written. This search is not a search to find, a search to dig and discover, almost like looking for or treasure. God is almost like trying to find us in order to reveal himself clearer to us. So it is not like God needs to search us. He already knows us. Now let's look at details of such a search. Let's look at how it is like to search us and what he found. So it says he knows when we sit and when we rise. God has searched every detail of our life. So he knows mundane things like sitting and rising. He knows that before I was born. So that's wonderful. Now would you please stand up and sit down again, please? And sit. Thank you very much. You see, I know when you would stand up because I ask you. And you will sit down because I ask you too. Now, I wouldn't know when someone stands up to go get water or someone leaves because this message is very boring. I don't know. Okay? I don't know. But God knows. And by the way, I can be very simple what I do here. So just to make sure we understand. So God knows every single thing we do. So what is so important about God knowing sitting and standing? You see, God knows the details that we don't care about. He knows when we sit and when we're down. it will come to play and it will help us in the future if we understand. At the end of this message, I will tell you, it's the details that is very important. We can say, well, why doesn't just God say, I say some things and it is done? And it's the process of what is yet to be done that's important for us. Okay? So he knows when we're sitting or standing. He also knows when we're lying down or going. When we're going some places, he knows. God knows where your little feet takes you, everywhere. He knows that very well. And he knows what are we going to say or not to say. He knows if we can't speak. Some folks cannot speak, but he knows what's in their heart and what they would like to say. So God knows when we sit and we rise, when we're going, what we're going to say. You see, this basic action that I say, so simple, is important. It can happen so fast, and we just don't think about them. And yet, some of those little actions we do can take us to places we shouldn't be, or say things we shouldn't say. And God knows way ahead, way in advance. So, that is because God knows. He also knows us because he is near to us. Okay? So, verse 3 to 5, he says, you hem me in and behind, before, and you have laid your hand upon me. So I just want to talk briefly about this thing, what I was thinking about. So you got a God that knows where you're at all the time, and you have a God that's almost like he hemmed you from front and the back. It's just like a bell. I have a nice bell here, right? And so it just feels like God is near. He's just always around me. So he knows where I'm at, and also what is M and it's just like God's presence and protection is with me. He's near. Okay? And in Lamentation chapter 3, verse 7, he has walled me in. So in other words, God is around me. I don't have to think. God is out there somewhere. He's around me. Remember, this is parallelism. I'm almost talking about the same thing. So in this case, it's almost like walling in, not just knowing. It's just walling around. Now, the second characteristic of God, we're moving on from God all-knowing to that God is present everywhere, as I said. And the idea behind this is what David is trying to say here. Of course, God is everywhere, but almost like David is saying, I cannot hide from God. That is, seems to be what David is saying. If you're saying, if he knows everything and knows me, so what? But David's idea is this, I just can't hide from God. Now, why was David having this? I have a hard time finding why. It seems that he was, in some way, maybe hiding. But in this time, I don't see why we'd be hiding. I probably have to study more. But it seems that he said, I can't hide from you. Maybe it's just his way of doing this parallelism or the writer for us to understand. Now, God is a triune God. He's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what I'm going to talk about. The Spirit is everywhere. Okay? Where can I go from the Spirit? Verse 7 says, where can I flee from your presence? Now, because God is Spirit, we just can't hide from him. Folks, do we hide sometimes? We do that a lot. I do that a lot. That's my prayer for you too. Pray for Bedwin to stop hiding. And ask God to help me. The Spirit is there. You see, in the game of Korosia, it is a hide and seek. God doesn't hide. It's us who hides. And the Bible said, seek the Lord while he can be found. It's not that he's hiding. Our absence appears to create an absent God. He's always around. And also, it says here, if I make my bed in the depths of Hades, depths or hell, if Hades is almost like hell, God doesn't live there, but he knows the misery. He knows what it is like. So he knows everything, even a place like deep down, even a place like hell. Now it says, if I rise as the wing of dawn, that is to rise up very early. And in some studies by scholars, means that it's a pretty fast action. If I rise and run, if I am very fast, God is still with me. God is almost like a, what's that called, where they tag you and they can tell everywhere you're going. I'm blanking out, young people. Almost like a microchip. Exactly, thank you. My son said, you got to keep up with electronics. You're behind. Microchips. Yes. And so anyway, he's everywhere. We can't hide from him. Okay? Even if we're trying to go fast or very slow. So even if we rise early, he's there. So God also, in verse 9, God knows us even though it's dealing with darkness, because he's light. We can't hide in darkness. He is the light. He's the source of light. Now, my last point in terms of this, and I move on to the what should we then, is God knows us because he's an all-powerful God. He's big. The word is omnipotent. Now, in the passage today, David would like to make us understand this powerful God is what he wants us to see is this creative God, the God that creates. That's a powerful thing. So that's what we're going to look into now. It says here, my frame was not even written from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. So there are two things here that they're trying to say that sounds like parallelism. Knitting and weaving are about the same, almost the same. Secret place, hidden place in my mother's womb. Same thing. So God knows, and he's the one who created us. And so, I have some helpers to help us. Like I say, when I started, my story might not be the perfect story, or this demonstration might not be the perfect ones, but I want you to take something home and feel it about this knitting and weaving process and think about God and what he can do. He creates things from nowhere. He just creates. Okay, he created the heavens and the earth. He created Adam and Eve. And today, we're going to see some knitting and some weaving. And then I'll just say what we can do to understand. So weavers, can I have some helpers with some chairs? So these folks are wonderful people that God created.
Jason, talk about noise. Probably you don't know. So we learn today that God, which he knows everything, and from nowhere he appears. And in this case, we need the right material and the foundations for the cause. In order to and we have to know what you're trying to form. We have to know some idea about the materials that you need. And so, as I was saying, God is the most of God. He helped us to, well, for this year, so much to understand that he leads us together in a wonderful time, even before we were born. And folks, every year, millions of lives are taken to abortion. That means some folks complain that he's leaving and moving processes. And so he's having to pray for folks that are trying to give up their lives. And so, Charles, what are you going to do? Absolutely. Thank you. And Jason? What are you going to do? My patient. He's a wonderful basketball player in it's the process in which he's doing this thing that we should think about. So as they meet, and as we were coming out of time, we just thank God that he leads us. He leads us together. And that's why we have to make sure we pray for life itself.
So why don't we thank them with a nice round of applause, okay? Thank you very much. Next time we have a party, we'll bring all those baskets, huh? You can sit where you're at and keep going, but if you want, you can go back to your seats. I think they're excited. So that's God is a powerful God. And in this message, David wants us to see the powerful way in which he creates us. Folks, they say that each cell or each body has about 10 trillion cells. Each body. About 10 trillion. And it's just so amazing. And there are billions of galaxies out there with billions of stars. Can you imagine that? God created them all. We can't hide, as David said, you can't hide in this outer space. He's there too. Okay? And the thought about this creation, David says, it's just we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We were not just made with God scratching his hair and said, oh, I think I'm just going to make Bedouin today. No, it just takes his time. It just really think it's a wonderful thing. Well, David did, but God thought it's a good thing to make me. Okay? Now, so I went through, first thing, what do we say when God is all-knowing? He is an omniscient God. And if he's present everywhere, he's an omnipresent God. And if he's a powerful God, like he can weave and knits, what's that? He's a omnipotent God. So with all that in mind, let's just dive through the last point. So in view of God's awesomeness, what should we do then? Well, David here is trying to draw into God his complaint. God, can you take care of my enemies? I'm having a hard time with them. My enemy is your enemy. Can you do something about that? Well, you know what? It's just like me. I need to make sure that I don't concentrate on the person itself, but the sin itself. This is what two of the most well-known scholars of our time said about dealing with people who do not like us. This is what they said. And if I find my notes. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6. This is what Spurgeon said. To love all men with benevolence is our duty. But to love any wicked man with complacency would be a crime. To hate a man for his own sake, for any evil done to us, would be wrong. But to hate a man because he's the foe of all goodness and the enemy of all righteousness, it is nothing more nor less than obligation. The more we love God, the more indignant shall we grow with those who refuse him their affection. Now, R.C. Sproul, what did he say? If there is such a thing as perfect hatred, it would mirror and reflect the righteousness of God. It would be perfect to extend that it excluded sinful attitude or malice, envy, bitterness, and other attitudes we normally associated with human hatred. In this sense, a perfect hatred could be deemed compatible with the love for one's enemies. One who hates his enemy with a perfect hatred is still called to act in loving and righteous manner toward him. I copied these from Pastor Stephen Cole from Flagstaff Church in Arizona. He quoted these folks, I quoted him. And I think it's a wonderful thing to know. Few people do not like us sometimes. Do you have folks that do not like you? Sometimes. It's okay. You don't have to hold them and hug them. You just pray for them. Okay? You just keep praying for them. Because the details that I went through is their own details. God will have to explain his details with them. Let them deal with God. And finally, what should we do then? You see, in the Goshen Kerosia, or the attacker or the seeker can only play in one location. The goal is to have fun. However, God would be able to play Kerosia anywhere. Denmark, Foucault, everywhere in the world, he can play Kerosia. And his goal, maybe he has fun, but his primary goal is for men to worship him and to honor and glorify him. So our job here is to do just that, to honor and glorify God, because he is a mighty God and he loves us very much. Speaking about challenges, some of us have challenges. How do you deal with those challenges? There's nothing else you can do but pray to God. That is what David is doing here. He said, God, you have searched me and you know me. Now search me. That's a prayer. That's the best thing we can do, is turn the thing around and ask for a prayer. Ask God to pray for those who do not like you, or that you might be a problem to other people. You see, I've been coming to this church for 35 years. And I've been I've been saved. I was saved 35 years ago. But this process of growing, I'm still growing. There are some challenges that I still have, but I just want to thank God that He's a loving God. So, folks, though the body is fearfully and wonderfully knitted together, our days are numbered. Our days are ordained in verse 16, Psalm 139. Our days are numbered. As I told you about Jim, my coworker. So what shall we do then with this awesome God and the fact that our days are numbered? I asked my students in myself and Uncle Caleb's class in Sunday school, what should they do? So you guys just went through this Halloween, and I'm so glad our church is doing to redeem some folks there at Santa Rita and elsewhere. What shall we do then? Folks, may I ask you, what should we do in light of this mighty God that is eternal? Share Jesus. That's what we can do. Share Him. And folks, I'm into families. There are some folks in this church that have challenges. There are some folks here, like myself, who come day in and day out, every Sunday, we have not grown. Regardless of this almighty and awesome God, we have not grown far. Maybe today is the day we grow. Maybe today is the day we share about this mighty God. After all, when you close your eyes and your days are no longer around, what matters most is what you share. Thank God for folks like the Every Home, not Every Home, but Campus Crusade for Christ, another group that are sharing. We should be doing that, not because we want to, because we have to. It's a command. So in closing, why don't we read verse 23 and 24 and we replace I with we. That will be our closing prayer. And close your eyes and say everywhere where it says I, we. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Test us and know our anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive ways in us. Lead us in the way of everlasting. Amen. Let's all rise for benediction, followed by doxology 147. May the amazing and awesome Lord bless you and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious upon thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Psalm 147, How Great Thou Art.